Chapter 2. The next morning, when Nancy came down to breakfast, she found Grandma and Aunt Hannah in the kitchen. Grandpa and Uncle George had already gone to Grandpa's store. Teddy, the cat, sat by the stove. He was known throughout the neighborhood as the cat that drinks coffee. Every morning when Grandpa had his breakfast, he gave Teddy a saucer of coffee with plenty of cream and sugar. The morning after Nancy came to the Bensons, Teddy discovered that she could easily be persuaded to give him a second helping, and he was on hand every day to remind her. Now Aunt Hannah had to see this famous cat drinking his coffee. She laughed and patted him. "Your name may be Theodore Roosevelt," she said, "but you are a real Swedish cat anyway." Teddy jumped into her lap and settled down for an after-coffee nap. So there they sat in Grandma's pleasant kitchen. Grandma, Aunt Hannah, Nancy, and Teddy, with the geraniums blossoming in the windows and the sun shining on the blue and white checked tablecloth. "Eat your oatmeal," said Grandma to Nancy, "before you tell us about the little house." While she was eating, Grandma told Aunt Hannah about Nancy's school. "You know that when Nancy came to us in April, she wasn't very well, and the doctor said she must stay outdoors and rest a great deal. Now you can see how well she looks. But, of course, she got behind on her schoolwork. So Mrs. Brown suggested that this fall she have her lessons with Alex. She used to be a teacher, and she will see to it that Nancy makes up the work she lost, so that when she goes back home, she can go right into her own class, just as if she had never been away at all." "Isn't that nice," said Aunt Hannah, "for Nancy and Alex, too. Do you like this kind of school, dear?" "Oh, yes," said Nancy. "It's fun. Mrs. Brown reads to us and tells us stories and everything." "But they have to study hard, too," said Grandma. "She's a good teacher and a wonderful mother, and she's had a hard time. Alex's father died when Alex was a baby. He will never be able to walk, but he is such a smart boy. We all think the world of him, don't we, Nancy?" "Yes, we do," said Nancy. "And Grandpa says he'll make his mark in the world even if he can't walk." But now she couldn't wait another minute to talk about the little house. "Alex thought there might be treasure hidden in the little house," she said, "and that was why it was boarded up. I don't know about that, but you should have seen it. It was silver, a little silver house." Aunt Hannah smiled at her. "I can imagine how it looked," she said. "I'd like to see that little house again myself." "Maybe Grandpa will drive us out that way sometime tomorrow," said Grandma. "This afternoon we're going down to Aunt Anna's, Nancy. She's having a coffee party so that some of the ladies who knew Aunt Hannah when she lived here will have a chance to see her again." Nancy finished her breakfast. They talked a little longer about the silver house, and then she went upstairs to make her bed. Aunt Hannah went with her to see the yellow rose wallpaper Grandma had let her choose when she first came. "Yellow roses are my favorite flower," Nancy said. Aunt Hannah stopped to see Nancy's doll, Charlotte, too, and all her pretty clothes. She looked at Nancy's tiny doll, only about 4 inches high, and all the dresses Nancy had made for her. It was easy to make a dress for this doll. All you had to do was cut a circle out of cloth, make a hole in the middle to slip over the doll's head, make 2 more holes for her arms to go through, and tie a sash around her waist. "The Carlson girls all have dolls like this," said Nancy, "and so does Wanda, a girl that lives across the road from Aunt Martha's farm. We play with them more than we do with our big dolls. They are all named for flowers. This is Jasmine, Sigrid's doll is Marigold, Helga's is Daisy, and Wanda's is Violet. But Elsa chose a funny flower name for hers. Hers is Trillium." Aunt Hannah laughed. "I think Elsa must be the kind of little girl who never does anything quite the way anyone else does," she said. "That's just the kind of girl she is," said Nancy. "I love to play with her. All the girls and Alex are fun to play with, but Elsa is more fun than anybody else in the whole world." "You're having a good time at Grandma Benson's, aren't you?" asked Aunt Hannah. "Oh, yes," said Nancy, "and I didn't even want to come at first. When Mama had to go to the hospital and Papa said I was going to stay with the Bensons, I cried. They aren't really my grandmother and grandfather, you know. They're friends of Mama's. I guess I didn't know how nice they'd be to me, Anyway, I cried when Papa told me. Of course you did, said Aunt Hannah. It must have been hard to go away all by yourself. I love it here now, though, said Nancy. I love the country and all the animals. In the city, I couldn't have any pets. And I love all the Swedish things we do, too. Before I came here, I didn't even know about things like name days and making flower crowns and everything. Grandpa says I'm getting to be a real little Swedish girl. And Grandma tells me your mother's getting better, said Aunt Hannah. Yeah, she is, said Nancy. She can write me quite a lot of letters now. Nancy, time for school, Grandma called, and Nancy ran across the street to Alex's house. While she and Alex were sitting on the piazza having a mid-morning glass of milk, the Carlson girls came up the street. Hi, Sigrid called. Mama said we could come to see you just while you're having recess. I wish you were having vacation, too, said Elsa. So do I, said Alex. We asked Mama if we could, but she said no. She said we could do something special someday, though, said Nancy, and invite you to visit. Oh, that's good, said Sigrid. I'd love to visit school. What I'd like to do, said Nancy, is go and see that little house again. Wasn't it beautiful? It's the first time I ever saw a little silver house, said Elsa. I didn't know houses could be silver. Well, of course it isn't really, said Alex. I don't suppose it looks beautiful at all in the daytime. It's just an ordinary old gray house. It is not, said Nancy and Elsa together. That house just couldn't be ordinary, said Elsa. There must be something very special about it. And it is beautiful, said Nancy. Well, anyway, said Sigrid, it seems as if there must be something strange about it. Boarded up for 30 years? I can't imagine why. I was hoping there might be treasure in it, said Alex. But after I saw it, I didn't think there would be. I know what it would be good for, though. It would be good for us to have for a Crimson Rambler clubhouse. A clubhouse all our own, you mean? Asked Helga. Yes, said Alex. Well, we can't have it, that's one sure thing, said Sigrid. But it would be fun. We could make curtains for the windows. And paper the walls, said Elsa. Yellow rose wallpaper in one bedroom, said Nancy. And blue forget-me-not paper in the other, said Sigrid. No, ships or horses or something like that, said Alex. And a garden, said Nancy. And a little stove, and we could cook, asked Helga. But where would we get the money? Asked Sigrid. I don't know, said Nancy. I guess we couldn't, but I wish we could find out something about the little house. I'd like to know who used to live there, and if they had any children. I can't think why they'd leave it. A little silver house. Mrs. Brown's telephone rang. They heard her going to answer it, and in a few minutes she came out on the piazza looking troubled. Alex, she said. Grandmother Brown has broken her arm, and we must get ready at once to go to her. We'll come back as soon as we can, but I'm afraid, Nancy, you'll have a vacation after all. Will you run across and explain to Grandma, please? Nancy and Elsa both ran across the street. They came back almost immediately. Grandma was with them. She had come to see if there was anything she could do to help Mrs. Brown get ready. I never saw such mixed-up days, said Nancy. I wonder what's going to happen next. Goodness, I don't know, said Alex. I'm sorry Grandmother broke her arm, but I wish we didn't have to go away now. There's too much going on. If you find out anything more about the little house, be sure to write and tell me. We will, said Elsa, and if anything else exciting happens, we'll tell you that too. The girls had a lovely afternoon. They sat in the Carlsons' backyard making dresses for their little dolls and talking about the silver house. The ladies at Aunt Hannah's party seemed to be having a good time, too. They were talking and laughing. But Aunt Hannah, even at her own party, did not forget the children. She excused herself long enough to come out to show them how to make flower hats for their dolls. Take a ribbon like this, she said, or a strip of cloth, and run a thread with tiny stitches along one edge of it. It is better to have your thread double so it will be stronger. When you get to the end of the ribbon, pull the thread, and the ribbon will be gathered. and you can shape it into a little hat, like this. Then fasten your thread firmly and sew the two ends of the ribbon together. Sure enough, there was a little hat. It looked like a pink flower. If you use cloth, said Aunt Hannah, you can scallop the outside edge to look like petals. Or you can use two pieces of cloth or ribbon, one a little wider than the other, and you will have a double flower. Take a piece of coarse yellow embroidery thread and sew over and over in the middle so that the flower will have a yellow center. The girls were delighted. We should each make a hat to match our child's name, said Sigrid. I'm going to try to find some orange-colored cloth or bright yellow to make a marigold hat. Will you help me make a daisy, Sigrid? Asked Helga. Yes, I will, said Sigrid, and we'll tell Wanda and she can make a violet. But I don't know how Nancy's and Elsa's flowers look. I don't either, said Nancy. I chose jasmine because I've read about jasmine flowers and I love the name. We'll ask Miss Bates at the library, said Elsa. She'll help us find a picture, and I'll look at trillium again. It has only three big petals, and I think the center is red. It will be a different-looking hat. People will say, what an unusual hat. And I'll say, it's the latest style from Paris. Aunt Hannah laughed. Good for you, she said. I don't believe I ever saw any jasmine either, Nancy, but I think I've read of yellow jasmine, though perhaps it comes in other colors too, and I think it has a very sweet smell. I hope it's yellow, said Nancy. It's my favorite color. Mama will let us have a little of her perfumery, said Helga, to make our hats smell sweet. And when I get home, said Aunt Hannah, I'll send you some pieces of cloth and ribbon of different colors so that you can make more than one kind of hat each. And we can make dresses to match, said Sigrid. Aunt Hannah, you are so good to us. Aunt Hannah went back into the house, but in a few minutes, Uncle George walked into the yard. Grandpa has to stay in the store for a while, he said, but I've come to have a visit with you girls. Ladies' coffee parties are all very well for ladies, but I thought we could take a walk downtown and have our party in the ice cream parlor. How do you like that idea?
There was no doubt that the girls liked it very much indeed. They did not often have a chance to go to the ice cream parlor. We'll ask Mama, said Sigrid. She has already said you may go, said Uncle George. All the way downtown they talked about the little house. I can see that you like it as well as I do, said Uncle George. I wish it was nearer to us, though, said Sigrid, so we could walk out to it now and then. If only it was out Aunt Martha's way instead of in the opposite direction, we could see it often, said Nancy. Anyway, I'm glad you remembered it, Uncle George, said Elsa. If you hadn't come, we might never have even heard of it. But I wish we could find out more about it. I'll tell you what, said Uncle George. If old Mr. Maple is in his ice cream parlor, we'll ask him. I remember he was a great one for knowing all about what went on in our town. When they got to the ice cream parlor, they found Mr. Maple's son at the counter. Pa just stepped out for a few minutes, he said, in answer to Uncle George's question. He'll be right back. Can I serve you some ice cream while you're waiting? Not plain ice cream for us today, said Uncle George. College ices all around, please. College ices, said Sigrid. My goodness, we've hardly ever had those. They cost so much. I think they're 10 cents each, she added in a worried tone. And well worth it for an occasion like this, said Uncle George. What kind have you? Maple walnut, chocolate walnut, strawberry, and pineapple. And a new kind we're trying out, cherry. Make your choice, girls, said Uncle George. This took time and thought, but at last they decided. Sigrid and Uncle George chose maple walnut. Helga decided on chocolate walnut. Nancy and Elsa tried the new kind, vanilla ice cream with bright red candied cherries. Poor ladies at home having only coffee and things, said Elsa. They sat at one of the round marble-topped tables and slowly ate their treat. I hope Mr. Maple comes back, said Elsa, but I'm glad he isn't here yet. One thing at a time is enough when it's as good as a college ice. They were almost through when he came in. He was delighted to see Uncle George and wanted to hear all about him and his family. Then Uncle George wanted to hear all about Mr. Maple's family, so it was quite a while before they got to the little silver house. But at last Uncle George said, "We were speaking last night about the Crane family and the little house they never wanted to sell." "The one out near the lake road that's still boarded up, you mean?" "Yes, I remember about that. There was a good deal of talk about it when the Cranes left town. They would have liked to get rid of it all right, but they couldn't."
"Couldn't?" asked Uncle George.
"Weren't allowed to, I mean," said Mr. Maple. "Old Jacob Crane built the house and lived in it for many years. When he died, he left a will that said the house couldn't be sold. It had to be kept in the family. It was an ornery thing to do because now nobody gets any good out of the place. Will Crane, who owned the big house on the hill here in town, tried his best to have the will changed, but he couldn't do it. Law is law. I didn't care much for him. He thought so highly of himself, he'd hardly speak to us common fellows. But all the same, I hate to see anybody tied up by something his ancestors decided."
"Couldn't they rent the place?" asked Uncle George.
"No, something about that in the will, too," said Mr. Maple. "Old Jacob left money, I understand, so the house would be well cared for, and it has been."
Uncle George looked at the children.
"These girls," he said, "have taken a great fancy to that little house."
"Is that so?" said Mr. Maple.
"Well, it's a pretty little place."
"Maybe," said Elsa shyly, "old Jacob loved it so much that he couldn't bear to let anybody but his own family have it."
"Maybe," said Mr. Maple doubtfully, "but it seems to me a funny way to love something, tie it up so nobody can use it. Plain ornery, it seems to me."
"How did he arrange to have it cared for?" asked Uncle George.
"Through his lawyer, I expect," said Mr. Maple. "Jim Fitch, a farmer who lived up the road a piece, used to have the care of it, but I don't know who does now."
They sat a little longer talking, and then Uncle George and the girl said thank you to Mr. Maple and his son, and went out into the September sunshine.
"I wonder about old Jacob," said Elsa. "Does ornery mean the same as contrary, Uncle George?"
"Just about the same. I thought it did, the way Mr. Maple said it. But maybe old Jacob really wasn't ornery. Maybe he did love the little house."
"I think Mr. Maple was right," said Sigrid. "Old Jacob shouldn't have fixed it so that nobody could use it."
"Maybe he didn't mean to," said Nancy. "Maybe he loved the house so much he was sure some of his family would always want to live in it. I don't see how they could help wanting to."
"Let's go back this way," said Uncle George, turning a corner onto a street that was lined with maple trees, now changing from green to gold and scarlet.
"I love autumn," said Elsa, "the leaves and the feeling of it, and the smell in the air."
"I do too," said Uncle George, "and I don't believe there is any place in the world where autumn is as beautiful as it is here in New England."
"The woods back of the little house must be lovely now in the daytime," said Elsa.
"When I came in April," said Nancy, "Grandpa said to watch every day, and I did. I never saw spring come in the country before, and it was wonderful."
"All times of year are wonderful," said Uncle George, "each in its own way. When you came, everything was waking up. Now everything is going to sleep for a while. But before they go to bed, the trees are going to have a big party," said Elsa, "and they're getting all dressed up for it. The maples got ready first. I don't know why, but perhaps they're on the program," said Nancy.
"That's it," said Elsa. "The maples have to be ready early because they are going to do the dance of the autumn leaves. They practice every night after people have gone to bed."
"I wish I could see them," said Helga.
"I wish I could see all the hours of the night and the day," said Elsa. "We get up at 7 in the morning and only stay up until 8 at night, or once in a while until 9, and there are all those hours in between when we don't see what's happening."
"You know, that gives me an idea," said Uncle George.
"What is it?" asked Nancy. "Are you going to fix it so we can stay up all the hours of the night?"
"No," said Uncle George, laughing. "That I can't do. But maybe we can do something special tomorrow,
if you'll all go to bed very early tonight.
Does it have something to do with the little silver house? Asked Sigrid.
No, nothing to do with the little house.
I heard Aunt Martha say this afternoon that she and Uncle Sven want us all to come to the farm while you are here, said Elsa. Are we going? Does it have something to do with that?
Oh, I love to go to the farm, said Helga.
Please tell us what it is, Uncle George.
But Uncle George wouldn't tell, no matter how much they begged.
Let's stop teasing, said Sigrid at last. It's really more exciting not to know.
Yes, I guess it is, said Elsa. Just think, if there hadn't been a fire in our school, we wouldn't be having a vacation, and tomorrow would be an ordinary day.
And if Uncle George hadn't come, said Nancy, we might never have found the little silver house.
And if old Jacob hadn't been ornery, said Sigrid, it wouldn't have been a boarded-up house at all.
I don't believe he was ornery, said Elsa. I like old Jacob.
I love Uncle George, said Helga.
Who doesn't? Said Elsa, catching hold of his hand and skipping along beside him as they turned into the Carlsons' yard, where Aunt Anna's bright dahlias and marigolds looked as gay as if they too were going to dance at the autumn party.